Recorded live in the Phantasmo Lounge, high atop the Christina Lindbergh building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth. It's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd, and guest host, Jessica Bittner. Tonight's topic, I Spit on Your Grave. Yes, I Spit on Your Grave, the much maligned I Spit on Your Grave, the misunderstood I Spit on Your Grave. But more on that in a minute. Hey, we're back at the old podcast here. I think, I don't know, was this 12, 13 we've done? And thanks for listening, anybody out there, the two of you that listen. And speaking of listening, if you are listening and you like what we're doing and you want to have any ideas or suggestions about some other topics we should talk about, or you want us to, you know, shut the hell up and not talk anymore, you can drop us an email at we have a new email now. It's phantasmoad@gmail.com or phantasmode@gmail.com. That's phantasmoad, all one word, @gmail.com. Or just drop us a line on the Facebook page, Phantasmo After Dark. Real easy to find that. And, you know, hey, let us know. Let us know somebody's out there. That'd be cool. Hey, coming up in the area here soon, we do Phantasmo Cult Cinema Explosion, the first Friday usually of every other month. But coming up this month on July 25th is Fantasy, the Chesapeake Central Library. It is a one-day sci-fi convention, kind of like Monster Fest, that we'll talk about in a second. And sci-fi convention all day long, and they'll have panels and vendors and all kinds of cool stuff. And that night, the doors open back up at 7. At 8 o'clock, we show double feature of the future as seen from the 80s with Back to the Future 2 and RoboCop. So come on out for that. It's free. The whole day is free. The movies are free. You can't beat it. Some classic fun movies up on the big screen. Now, coming up in October is Monster Fest, October 3rd, the first Saturday in October, and it's going to be a good one this year. It's Dr. Mad Blood's 40th anniversary. We're going to be celebrating that and have some cast and crew from the Mad Blood show and all kinds of cool stuff. And we also have a special guest this year. We're very fortunate. We've got Miss Veronica Carlson from the Hammer Films, Dracula Has Risen from the Grave, and Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed. She'll be there. She's an amazing, lovely person. You don't want to miss that. She will be charging for her autographs on pictures and such, but there is no admission to get into Monster Fest. It's free all day long. The Cemetery Boys will be playing out front. We have over 60 vendor tables of cool stuff you can buy and panels all day long. And, oh man, we have some other special guests too that we'll be announcing as closer it gets to the time. Also that evening, we have the double feature Phantasmo Monster Fest edition, and we are going to show Veronica's two of the films she was in, and those two that I mentioned, Frankenstein Must Be Destroyed and Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. And before that, we'll have the live band, the Sons of Frankenstein, playing some classic rock. So you get a live band, two movies, and hopefully Veronica will stay there to introduce them. So that'll be cool. Mark your calendars now. Also, keep checking the Narrow schedule over the next couple months. We did a special Phantasmo Dawn of the Dead showing there a couple of weeks ago, the original Dawn of the Dead. Great attendance. It was fantastic to see that up on the big screen. And we're talking about doing some other stuff with them, hopefully soon. Not sure what yet, not sure when, but keep a lookout there. And check the Phantasmo Facebook page for that, the Phantasmo Cult Cinema page. Now, tonight we're talking about I Spit on Your Grave, the original 1978-1980 I Spit on Your Grave. And, you know, to really talk about this, you got to have a woman's point of view. You can't just have a couple guys talking about this because of the nature of the film. So I got a girl to come in and talk about the film. A lot of times you hear girls talk about, or women talk about, this film, sorry ladies, and they always say it's misogynistic and it's horrible and it's awful, and it's not nice. The film is horrible and it has some awful moments in it, but there's a point to that. Now, before we get into that, a little about the film. It was originally released under a different title called Day of the Woman in 1978. The limited release didn't do a whole lot of business, and then a couple years later, the Jerry Gross organization, the infamous Jerry Gross, who also distributed I Drink Your Blood, I Eat Your Skin, Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, Fritz the Cat, Fulci's Zombie, Mondo Kane, distributed all those great grindhouse films, took this film, Day of the Woman, changed the title to something a little more catchy, I Spit on Your Grave, re-released it in 1980, and then it kind of, you know, it took off and took had a life of its own for a while and became infamous after that. The director, Zarchi, is his last name, anyway, he got the inspiration to make this film after he and his family almost witnessed a girl getting raped. They were driving along this road, and this girl was crawling out of the brush, who was naked and dirty and had just been raped. And then they took her to the police and took her to the hospital to get help. And it kind of inspired him to write this story where somebody goes through something that horrible but actually gets justice for themselves, which is what happens in this. Now, that all out of the way, we're going to let Jess talk a little bit because I've been running my mouth pretty much straight this whole time. Now, a lot of girls don't like this movie, but you do.
Yeah, I can see that. Then again, I like most, I'm just definitely a horror movie type person.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to take it at is face value. Yeah, I mean, it's a horrible topic. It's a horrible thing to have watch. But it's like you said, it's pretty much building up to the justification at the end, which is oh so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. She gets the guys back really good at the end of it. If you haven't seen it, you check it out. It's got, I think, a bigger reputation than what it is over the years, because there's been a lot of movies since then that have had really intense, uncomfortable to watch rape scenes and violent scenes since this movie's come out and in recent years. But this is one of those that it's got a reputation. I think partly is that the time that it had come out, there wasn't anything as brutal as this that had come out, because man, she gets it. And it's not pretty, and it is uncomfortable to watch. I mean, it should be for anybody. Like you said, she gets her justice at the end.
I think that's the main important part. That's how you know you can get through it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh my goodness, okay, she survived.
Yeah.
Oh, here it goes again. Okay.
Yeah. Because
she's still alive.
Yeah.
I mean,
because for those who haven't seen it, she gets raped by these four guys. Repeatedly, three times in a row, or four if you count the one guy that almost does. They get her. She's out in a boat, and they come by in this motorboat. She's out in like a rowboat canoe, and they come by in this motorboat, and they grab the rope
and drag
her boat, tow it to another secluded location in the woods, and they get her out of the boat and they chase her. And I forgot. When they're chasing her, remember this one scene?
Never noticed it before.
We just watched this last week, and I guess because I got a bigger TV now, I don't know.
That could be
But they, when they're chasing her, you see off to the left, like not even behind a tree, but kind of beside a tree, like the booms, the sound guy holding the boom mic and everything.
Which is funny, because remember when we watched the trailer, they said these five guys,
yeah.
Well, there's only four guys. The fifth guy must have been the sound guy.
That was the guy. The fifth guy was the boom guy, apparently. So that's the mysterious fifth guy.
You know, now I'm curious, because now I'm going to go back and watch my copy, because I told you there are certain things that are in mine that are not in yours.
Yeah.
I wonder if they managed to catch that and cut it out.
Oh, I don't know. Well, bring it over. I'd like to see that if it's got extra stuff in it. I'd definitely like to see that. But so they're chasing her, and they... Man, it's brutal. They pin her down, and the whole object for them is one of the guys is a little slow, is mildly retarded, and he had delivered groceries to her house before, and bragged to the guys about like looking down her shirt and seeing her tits, and like he kind of had a little crush on her. So they were gonna get him laid is the big thing. They were gonna get him laid by this girl.
Yeah, and that's who he wanted. They were talking about just getting him laid.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, it's got to be somebody special.
Yeah. So they got her, and when they're holding her down and saying, go ahead, dude. And he goes, I can't do it. This isn't right. And it wasn't right. He was right that it wasn't right. And so the one guy, the lead guy, somebody's going to get some.
He's like, we've already got her pretty much in a compromised position. Somebody's going to take advantage now.
Yeah. So he jumps on her and has his way with her, and then they let her go. And she crawls away. She's crying and hurt and you know, by all rights. And walks away, you know, crawls halfway, gets up, walks away, goes through the woods trying to get back. Because they get back to the boat and they've pushed her boat away. She's walking along through the woods, and then she comes to this clearing a little while later, and there's the guys again. Oh, they've doubled back around.
You might want to mention the fact that she is now naked. They've thrown her bikini into the into the pond or lake or whatever that is, and her canoe and the canoe paddle. So she's basically walking around barefoot and naked.
She's totally vulnerable. She's all dirty and she's naked, and you know, can't be any more vulnerable. And so then they take her again. One of the other guys has a way where the bends her over this rock, and just it's like I said, it's brutal. It's uncomfortable. It's not really anything to joke about.
That's the worst one, though.
That is the worst one, and you'll have to see it yourself to get it. But then they let her go from that, and she crawls away and runs away, gets away. Finally, she gets back to the secluded lakefront cabin that she's rented for the summer, and she gets inside, and she's you're like, you're watching it yourself. You're going, oh, God, finally.
She's finally inside. She's going to be safe. Shirt on.
She's put a shirt on. She's still dirty and covered in grass and mud.
And now crawling at this point.
Crawling up to the phone. And they're in the house. And they rape her again. And the one guy, the creepiest guy, the sadistic guy.
Oh, yeah. He takes it to another level.
Yeah, he starts beating her before or during. I can't remember.
Anyway. After the mildly retarded guy.
Oh, okay.
But no, and also, another part that was really horrible is the fact while the one guy is, like, about to rape her, they're mocking her writing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
which,
she's writing.
Which, by the way, was bad.
Well, yeah. she had gone there the summer to write her novel. She had written articles for magazines and stuff, and she's going to write her novel. So they're reading her novel while their one guy's raping her, and they're tearing it up and making fun of it.
And just mocking the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're rubbing it in. Well, they finally leave, and the guy, the lead guy, tells the retarded guy, is like, okay, well, you know, you got to kill her. We can't leave her like that because she'll tell and we'll get in trouble.
That always just kills me that they left the most crucial part of this to him.
Yeah. Well, they left it to him because they can always say, well, he did it, we didn't.
Well, they could have at least watched or gone back
to make sure. Well, yeah, but if they did, then the rest of the movie would be over.
They'd be screwed right there.
So they tell him that they give him a knife, tell him to go in there and kill her, and he goes in there, and he can't do it, so he just rubs the knife in the blood that's on her and comes out and says he did it. Weeks go by. I can't remember. Did it say how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and she is, cleaned herself up.
The guy's like, they should be able to smell that. How come nobody's making any kind of stink about no cops or nothing in the papers about this woman being found?
Yeah. And during this time, she has cleaned herself up. She's healing herself. You can see that she's thinking about what's going on.
Not calling the cops.
Mm-mm. And then once she's got herself together, she drives around and kind of spies on them, kind of does some surveillance on the guys.
Getting their routines down.
Yeah. And then the revenge comes. And it is sweet. She gets them good. My favorite one, I think, is the first one.
Because
the way it was done was unexpected.
Well, that was the best because he's at work and he gets the phone. The woman gets the phone call for the order to be placed at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to go up to the place, the cabin. And he's just like,
he freaks out like,
Well, he knew she was still alive.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that,
now he has to confront.
And now he's like, and that's when he grabs the knife from the butcher block.
That's right.
Because he's going to finish it now because now all the other guys know she's alive. And they're mad.
Yeah.
You mentioned that when they drove around the boat and they saw her by the tree.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So they know she's alive and they beat the crap out of the guy.
They beat the crap out of him because he didn't finish the job.
Do what he said he did.
Yeah, so then he goes out there and she's in a negligee and outside close to the lake and she starts to seduce this guy. And, being a guy, he succumbs to it.
A guy and a very slow guy.
Well, yeah, it takes him a while. But he, they're down on the ground and he's on top of her and she, he's got his pants off and they're just getting ready to start to go at it. And then she pulls a rope from under the bushes. Yeah. Puts it around his neck, rolls him off of her and then yanks the rope and pulls it around a tree for leverage and hangs the guy out over the lake. It's great. It's
his pants are down.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just basically humiliated and dead now.
And dying, yeah. Now, an interesting thing about this, I was doing a little research, and when they were filming this, that he was starting to really jerk around like he was, you know, being hanged. And the director at first was like, oh, that's good acting. And then he got, the director got freaked out because he was really jerking around. Like, you know, and he thought they were hanging him, and they let him down. Turned out he's just, he was having a panic attack because he's afraid of heights. the noose wasn't choking him, but he was having a panic attack. So I wonder if they left that in or if they did another take. I don't know.
I'm trying to, he was flailing, but I don't think it was anything. They didn't really show, they either showed his face or his feet. They didn't show his whole body at any point.
And then we go on and we get the most talked about kill, the most infamous kill of the movie, where she gets the gas station, the leader guy. And you would think that he would have been the last one because he was the leader.
Yeah,
you know?
And also the first to rape her.
Yeah, so you think he would have been the last, which that's unusual. I hadn't really thought about that before, that he was just kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
But she brings him back. She ends up seducing him and saying and giving the old, yeah, you were right, I deserved it kind of thing, and gets his confidence and brings him back to the house and says she's going to give him a bath. So he's in the tub and she's putting her hair up and she's deadpan look on her face this whole time. You know some shit's getting ready to go down when you're watching.
She's even like engaging him, talking about his wife and his kids.
Oh yeah,
because she's seen them and he's how have you? He's like, well, I've been watching you. Yeah. But that whole point, like before she takes him to the bath, when you know he was telling her that everything that happened was her fault.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh god,
and, you know, walk by me in that skirt with your legs and
the thing, and you were breathing,
and you're just being a girl, and yeah,
and you were asking for it.
What did you expect was going to happen?
Yeah, and you know, and back when this was made in the 70s and all, I mean, that was, you heard that a lot, and it's awful to think, you know, that people kind of almost thought that way. But you're watching it and going, oh, God, dude, are you kidding? She's going to shoot you in the face right now. You keep talking like that.
I just can't believe that he believed her when she kind of gave that impression. Yeah. Oh, I see your point. You know?
Well, he was just so stuck on himself.
He was very so full of himself. Everybody follows me around. I'm the top dog.
Yeah.
People do what I say. I don't take orders from no woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't last long.
No.
But she gets him in the tub, and then she reaches down. She's touching him under the water with one hand, and she reaches out of the tub while his eyes are closed and his leaning back, and he's saying his line, woman, God bless your hands, woman.
bless your hands.
She grabs a butcher knife and puts it under the water and proceeds to
I totally don't understand how there wasn't more pain. Like, you would pretty much know if somebody was cutting a body part, especially that body part.
It probably just went into shock instantly. I don't know.
I was like, oh, so good it hurts.
Oh. But yeah, he's like, oh, that hurt. And then, what?
There's so much blood.
And the blood just like shot out of the water.
I like to imagine she had a nice hot bath going just so he'd bleed faster.
It probably did. Probably did. And probably sharpened that knife up too, you know?
Well, you know, that is the butcher knife. That was the knife, the same knife that the guy brought to kill her.
That's right. Oh, man. Talk about a rough scene. And then the last two kills are, we go back to the boat where it all started.
Oh yeah,
they're coming up on the boat, and they've decided one of them's got an axe, and he comes up
they
on
put
the shore.
Him on shore yeah. yeah,
and she has since gone offshore and is swimming out to the boat, and she knocks the one guy out of the boat, and proceeds to keeps trying to run him over with the boat.
Yeah, the whole time I'm wondering, I'm like, does he not know how to swim? But then I'm imagining it's probably the fact that she's circling him and causing the wake with the boat. It's so choppy that he's having issues swimming.
And he's scared too. You know, he's like freaking out. She goes by the dock on the boat and ends up, I don't know if she bumps the dock or whatever, the guy ends up dropping the axe in the boat.
I loved his tantrum before she came up. Leave him alone! And he's just jumping up and down like he's got like ants in his pants. And I'm just like, what is he? Is he having a seizure? But yeah, that was
probably his dirty clothes. He wore the same clothes the whole time.
Yeah, that's another thing. They all wore the same clothes the entire... She had two bikinis.
That's true.
And a nice black outfit.
Yep.
And the long Mormon skirt that she wore the first day that got her in trouble.
That's true. That damn skirt. But she ends up axing the one guy in the back, and then
Motorboating the other guy.
Yeah, she did. She motorboated him to death.
Just not in a good way.
No, not in a good way.
But seriously, who would have grabbed the back of a motor? Of any place to grab on that boat to not drown?
Yeah, you know, the guy was a dumbass. I mean, come on.
And every single one of them blamed the other one for, it was so-and-so's idea. It wasn't my idea.
Oh, yeah.
But I did like the guy in the bathtub later when you see her destroying his clothes and he's like down in the cellar or something.
Oh, yeah.
He's
bled out.
He is pasty pale. I mean, this is a guy that's like sun-kissed and you're like, okay, he is white head to toe.
Yeah, I just want to know what she did after this movie. The character, what'd she do with the bodies?
Yeah, I mean, it clearly showed that she was trying to hide something when she killed the slow guy because she threw the groceries and his bike into the lake or whatever that
is. Yeah, she burned the other guy's clothes but kept the body in the basement.
Yeah, did she go do something with the body later?
Yeah.
And the other guys, everybody's in the lake. Maybe she drugged the other guy out to the lake. They're all now sitting in the lake.
Now, a couple other interesting things about this is the location, the house that they filmed this at was actually the director of photography's house on the lake. That was actually his house. And this was the same location, I believe, that they used for Friday the 13th, part 2, for some parts of it anyway. And you talk about the in the trailer. It's also on the poster. It says, cut, chopped, broken, and burned, 5 men. There's only four. I think in the remake, which I haven't seen, that there is a fifth guy, and I think it's like the sheriff or something.
I mean, the remake came so many years after. It kind of makes you wonder why they didn't edit that before they did those trailers. It's like, because the whole time it's like, where's the fifth man? He's got to be coming up here soon.
Yeah.
Oh, here are the credits.
I don't know. I'll have to look into that and see if maybe there was a fifth guy in the script. I don't know.
Well, now that you say that the location was, let me say the director's house or?
The cameraman, the director of photography, yeah.
I would really love to know what their budget was, considering the fact they didn't have wardrobe changes. They had absolutely no music.
Well, that's true. That was another thing I meant to mention. There is no music in this film whatsoever, except one time when she's listening, she puts a record on.
She puts a record on, and that's...
But there's no theme music at the beginning. There's no incidental music throughout the whole thing. That's another thing that makes it, I think, scarier or creepier.
Yeah.
Because it's more like it's real. There's you don't have theme music when something's happening, you know? Oh, it's like you're the fifth man. You're a bystander watching. You are the camera watching. You're in the scene.
It's not like you're watching a movie. It's like you're witnessing an event.
Yeah, and the way it's, I think one of the things that makes it uncomfortable is it's meant to, it's not so much filmed from the attacker's point of view. It's you're feeling kind of what she's feeling, so it's almost like you're seeing it from her point of view,
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the director meant, is for you to feel that way and not not from the other side of it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could sympathize with those guys. They made them so, I don't know, just unlikable.
Well, there's nothing about them, that's likable. I mean, you almost feel for the slow guy, like maybe...
He just fell in with a bad crowd.
Yeah, I mean, they pushed him on, and they were his only friends, so he's, he wants them to like him, so he's going to, because he didn't want to do it at first, But then they, throughout the whole thing, they egg him on, and of course, then they give him some liquor, and he finally goes to it, but then he can't. He gets about halfway through, and he can't finish, so he, he just kind of fell in, and, the other guys...
He just wants to belong.
Yeah. The other guys were just sadistic as hell. You're talking about the budget. It had a low budget. That's why.
I'm imagining.
Well, that's why,
like, transportation. That's it.
Yeah. Well,
and a boat.
Their own vehicles. That's why there was. I think it was the director's car. Actually, it might have been. That's why there's no music. They couldn't afford any music. He was gonna get a score done or at least an opening theme, but they couldn't afford it in the budget. There was no music, and I think they all wore like their own clothes. I know they were all her own clothes. Camille Keaton, they were all her clothes.
They probably need to pay the sound, the music to the crickets and the locusts.
Yeah.
All you hear is nature sounds the entire time.
Pretty much. But it almost gives it that, not really a documentary feel, but that feel that you're witnessing it as you're there watching from behind a tree or something, Speaking of Camille Keaton, the lead in it, We actually were fortunate enough to meet her at a convention a couple of years ago, actually. And she was a very nice lady, very sweet person, just glad to meet people. If you get a chance to meet her at a convention, definitely do it. She's very pleasant and, you know, doesn't come across as being snooty like some celebrities are when you meet them. And she was, you know, just happy to be around people. It was great. I wish I, you know, could have had longer time to talk to her more about the film. I did talk to her briefly about the name change, how originally it was called Day of the Woman. And, you know, I think it might have been received better if it kept that title.
You do? Did she have an opinion? Or?
I don't remember. I didn't get a chance to talk to her about that. I mean, we just talked that it was changed. And I think overseas, they use that title more. I think is something that she said, because the picture I got autographed from her is her standing in front of a poster back then. This is of Day of the Woman. But no, I'm just, you know, my opinion, I think it might have been received better under the title Day of the Woman, because that sounds more of a women empowerment kind of title than I Spit on Your Grave. That just sounds like a low-budget, schlocky horror film title. And then you see this woman getting brutalized, right, you know,
yeah,
right at the beginning.
It was definitely low-budget, but it wasn't schlocky at all.
Well, no, but, it, you know, from the get-go, when things started happening, she's just getting it. I mean, getting beat up and getting raped and repeatedly. But I think if it kept the title Day of the Woman, it'd been easier for people watching
people,
that scene.
More people would have accepted.
Well, yeah, because you're going Day of the Woman, okay, you know she's going to come out ahead because that's the name of the movie, you know?
That we always joke about the fact is I Spit on Your Grave. There are no graves.
No, there's no graves.
There's no graves in this, just in case you were wondering.
And I don't think there's any spit. I could be wrong.
Just wonder how close some of those angles were at some of those scenes.
There were some body fluids. I don't know if it was spit, though.
Oh, God.
You know, something else to throw in here that's kind of related, but not really. There's a book called Men, Women, and Chainsaws by author Carol J. Clover, and which talks about this kind of thing, like the last girl in horror movies, and it goes over how horror movies a lot of people say are misogynistic because, you know, the women are already always, if I can talk, always getting beat up or getting killed.
They're the ones being stalked. They're the ones.
But they're also, in most of them, the ones that come out at the end.
The one that survives.
That survives and kills. And that's her point in most of the book, is how these movies are actually, you know, women empowerment movies, because they are they're the heroes and they end up defeating the bad guy. And she does talk about I Spit on Your Grave in the book a little bit, too. And I read a couple of excerpts about it not long ago. But I'd recommend picking up that if you like, you know, the 80s horror movies or the grindhouse, the rape revenge movies. Look up her book, Carol J. Clover, Men, Women, and Chainsaws. I know you've told people about this movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of reactions have you gotten from people that you've told? I mean, I know people have heard about it or may not have seen it, or even people you've mentioned it to that have seen it. Do you remember anything anybody said?
Well, I don't, besides like our close group of friends, I can't, anybody that I mentioned it to has never seen it. And when I tell them about it, I get the, oh, hell no, I could never watch anything like that. That's not something I'm into. You don't have to be in.
No,
it's
no.
It's a rape to watch a movie that has a rape in it.
Yeah,
I'm not sitting there when I watch. I'm like, yeah, that looks
get her
like
again.
Something I'd be interested in.
No, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people don't understand is the idea. You have to be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know, that's the point, is to make you uncomfortable and make it hard to watch. So the revenge at the end is, like we've said before, is that much more sweet, and you're cheering her on more at the end. Yeah, at the end you're like, yeah, you know.
It's like, let's see how she's going to mess the next one up.
Yeah, I mean, if it just showed them, like, trying to hit on her, and then she runs away, and they egg her car, I mean.
I mean, I understand some people with their perspective and may have personal issues and why they can't watch it.
I get that.
The other people, it's just because of the general like stereotyping of it. But these are the same people that are fully capable of watching the Saw movies with some really gross torture, acid burning the face off. But that doesn't bother you.
No. But I guess because this is more realistic to them. You know, because I mean, people who have, you know, who've been through that, you know, who've been raped.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I would not recommend.
Horrible.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even imagine. No, I wouldn't recommend anybody that's been through it to watch it because it is that brutal
it
and
is,
that gritty.
It's very realistic.
Yeah. But, you know, anyone else, she gets them back in spades at the end.
So if you can tolerate all that.
Yeah.
Up until the end, then the end, you'll be like just rooting her on, just cheering her on.
Yeah, and for that, I think it's a well-made movie for that alone, that it does make you feel, you know, ugh.
You do feel a little skeezy, creepy, and just generally grossed out, and you almost feel violated for her.
Yes, and that's what I was saying. It's like it's you're seeing it from her point of view. You're not watching them do it. You're watching it happen to you or to her, you know, even though the camera is not looking through literally her point of view, it's just the way it's shot. It kind of makes you feel more like that, you know. I would I'd recommend this movie to just about anybody, though, that, you know, it's not something you're gonna sit down with the family and watch. You need to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's kind of like trying to watch Pink Flamingos. You kind of have to have a little bit of a warning before you set somebody down, unless you're willing to pay those therapy bills.
That's true. Now, I think this is a lot harder to watch, though, than Last House on the Left, which is another infamous film of this. It is a revenge film.
It's another very good film, though.
Yeah, it is, and it's same thing. It's good because it is gritty and not documentary style, but that kind of you feel like
it's
you're
like
in
surreal.
The middle of it.
It's kind of like this really could happen.
Yeah, it like it's happening in your, you know, next door in the backyard. It's not glossy. That's my problem with the remakes. Is
I have another problem with that remake though.
Oh yeah. But you can't shoot a movie like they did back then today. It's just almost not possible.
Well, people are expecting so much more now. But I mean, you know, I loved it when Hatchet came out, when they did no CGI. When it was
it was all practical effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took you back to where, you know, it has a more real look than when it's CGI'd.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a fantastic film. I enjoyed the hell out of that. But what I'm talking about, though, is it's got a slicker look today. It's hard for them to make a low-budget movie because, I guess, technology is different, cameras are different, you know, everything is. But to make a movie on the sly like that, using the cameraman's house, wearing your own clothes, you know, and all this.
Winging it.
Yeah, you know, everything's more of a slicker production these days. And I guess I'll have to sit down and watch the remake to compare. I just haven't got around to seeing it.
Which remake?
I Spit on Your Grave. Yeah, I saw Last House on the Left a while back. I don't remember a whole lot about it, and that probably says something about it. I don't remember a whole lot. I'll tell you another interesting thing about the original here, I Spit on Your Grave, is because Camille Keaton was naked for most of the film. I heard or read somewhere that I think she was dating the director at the time. But she made him get in his underwear while they were filming those scenes because she was going to be naked the whole time. And
she's like, if I got it, you got it.
Yeah, and also the other actors, the guys that were raping her, the bad guys, I read somewhere that they said, you know, well, during those scenes that they're doing that to her, you know, they should be naked too, like full frontal, completely naked, because since she's going to be naked, they should be naked to make her feel more comfortable, that she wasn't like the only one on display kind of thing.
I often wondered why they kept stripping down even their socks off.
Like,
good Lord, you're thinking if you were trying to make this a fast operation, you leave some article of clothing on to make a quick, you know, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I heard. You know, they did that. And it was like, you know, professional actor courtesy kind of thing, I guess.
I don't think you get that nowadays. You're making how much more and you're getting naked?
Yeah.
Well, you have it. I'm not getting naked.
Now, since then, like I said before, there's been quite a few movies that had intense rape scenes, but they don't get
the stigma.
The stigma that this movie does. I mean, what was the one, the Accused with Jodie Foster, where she was like gang raped in a bar?
Yeah.
Nah, that's the only one that comes to mind, but I know there's been some other ones. When I was doing some research, I read about a couple of them.
Oh, the general's daughter. I mean, you don't really get to see her.
Yeah.
But, I mean, see the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
It was just horrendous. Oh. I mean, she was on. Oh, no, you did actually see some of it when they showed the original rape. It was pretty brutal.
And see, and there you go. I think it comes from, you know, the time that this was made. Like I said earlier, there was nothing else like it. And it's just the reputation of it is gone. Because also, too, when movies like this were released in the late 70s, on the, either the drive-in circuit or the grindhouse circuit, they weren't released like they are today, where they're released nationally. You know, and then they're released the same day in California and as they are in New York, as they are here, as they are in the Midwest. You know, back then they were released like regionally.
It's coming soon to a theater near you.
Yeah, and it might be released up in New York, like on 42nd Street, and then 6 months later, after it had its run there,
that same film would be making its way.
Yeah, those same films would come down and would go down south, and then it would go across country, or it might be released in California and then over to New York and then, you know, into the Midwest and then down south. So it would take a while for everybody to see it, but you'd hear about this film, you know.
And you'd be looking for it, waiting for it to come.
And if it didn't come, well, you just heard about this film your whole life, and you know. But yeah. It's something. It's something. I think it's a better film than most people give it credit for, especially people who haven't seen it and just heard about it. And a lot of people have seen it. I'd say go back and watch it again and try to watch it from a different kind of different perspective. And I think, you know, you might get a little more out of it than just the, oh, it's awful, it's horrible. Because it is, but there's a point to it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just like a film showing this kind of violence for like glorification. There's a there's a point to it. There's an end all result that makes you, you know, you don't feel like completely better about what you watched, but you know, you feel like for her justification was served, and you know,
what's like
she can move on.
Yeah, watching the film, because you've watched you and I both watched it quite a few times, and you've watched it a lot on your own, and from what you've told me, and I'm assuming because you've seen it that much that you don't feel like watching it violated or dirty or...
No, probably not after like the second or third time. Then you're like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I know how this ends.
Yeah, but it's more of a you know, type.
It's like, oh, don't you wait. You just wait.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming. The hurricanes are coming.
There you go. So there you go. I don't think I have anything else that I could... oh, yes, I do. One, I'll close pretty much with this. Roger Ebert. His review of the film when it first came out was a vile bag of garbage without a shred of artistic distinction.
Wow, you think that was a John Waters review or something from him.
Yeah. You know, hey, you go watch it and you make up your own mind and check it out. I Spit on Your Grave. Yeah, that's about it.
I don't ever believe in what critics say. I prefer watching it on my own. If one of my friends say it's good, I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah,
and that was you, and you're the reason I watched it.
And now you can't stop.
Yeah, I watch it like two or three times a year, so, especially around Halloween.
Especially around Halloween or two or three times a year, don't go, you know, making noise around Jess's house because she's just in the mood for some destruction at that point.
I'm gonna have my own butcher knife, and God bless my hand.
That's right, and she's got a rope in the you know, on the ground in the bushes. There's a motorboat out back.
Say, I'm ready.
Alrighty, well, that's it for this episode, I Spit on Your Grave, and we'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Good night.